Chapter 1. 1. Consciousness and New Consciousness.
What is consciousness? What is its origin?
Where is it located? How can we define it?
It is common for the seeker of truth to wonder about what consciousness is, about the difference between the I consciousness and the new consciousness, about the coexistence of two different consciousnesses that do not communicate, and about how the transformation of consciousness occurs.
These questions are essential for walking the path, as consciousness transformation is the only solid foundation upon which any transmutation process can take place. For those on the path, knowing what consciousness is like an archer seeing the target. Without the vision of the target, the bow, arrows, and aim are worthless. Without knowing what consciousness is, efforts to transform it are useless. It is easy to see how we get lost in the mass of concepts of the inner world without knowing exactly what they mean. Thus, we often find ourselves talking about the demolition of the old consciousness and the necessary efforts for the rebirth of the new consciousness without having inner clarity about what consciousness itself is. This habit is equivalent to archers throwing arrows at random in the vain hope that one of them, by mere chance, will reach the desired target that is still invisible to them. For this reason, the first effort of those on the path must be to acquire the minimum knowledge about themselves so that even if in a somewhat uncertain and vague way, they can see the inner goal to only then mobilize and set out on the way. In the beginning, this minimum knowledge necessary will come from an external source and will thus be second-hand knowledge. However, as soon as the seekers have received the basic instructions, they must strive to convert this second-hand knowledge into first-hand knowledge, that is, into knowledge based on their own experience and their own inner recognition. We will deal here with a set of fundamental concepts of the universal teachings, hoping that they will be used as tools for inner work to convert one's own experience into a solid base of first-hand knowledge. The first fundamental concept is that in the entire universe, there is only one consciousness. Just as the waters of the oceans are only a single and continuous mass of the same water, which touches and interpenetrates around the whole Earth. The second fundamental concept is that this one and only consciousness unfolds in spirit and matter, initiating the entire universal manifestation in a fully integrated manner in the one whole of the universe. The one and only consciousness maintains its reflection in every particle and every being that manifests itself in the universe. Just as each particle is both an individual entity and an indissoluble part of the same one whole, so consciousness is both the power that unites the whole and that which manifests itself in each of its parts. In other words, everything is one. All beings are both the part and the whole. In this way, consciousness is the great unifying power in the universe, which gives cohesion, continuity, and unity to all that exists, which indivisibly unites the part and the whole, which gives uniformity and continuity to the infinite levels of manifestation in the universe, from micro to macro, and again from macro to micro. Consciousness is the very image of the absolute, projected as a factor of permanent union between spirit and matter. It is referring to this that Hermes Trismegistus says, "As it is above, so it is below." The One, the Absolute, becomes the triple logos, forming everything from a subatomic particle to the body of the universe through three indivisible universal principles, spirit, matter, and the consciousness that unites them. So far, the first two fundamental concepts of the universal teachings have been presented. 1. The existence of a single consciousness in the entire universe, and 2. Consciousness as the great unifying power of the universe. The third fundamental concept of the universal teachings about consciousness refers to its three attributes, identity, perception, and manifestation, which correspond to the images of the absolute, spirit, and matter. These three attributes always form the present consciousness of everything, from a subatomic particle to the largest aggregate of matter imaginable in the entire universe. It is precisely the fact that these three attributes are always the same and are present in all beings that allows a state of consciousness to grow towards another greater and more awake state of consciousness. That is also why all these states are interconnected as if by an invisible thread that unites everything that exists and manifests itself, forming a single and indivisible universal fabric, the great network, that connects everything that exists. This ensures that divinity itself, or the universal principle, arises, lives, awakens, and becomes aware of itself in all life waves in the universe until it reaches perfection and transcendence in itself. For this reason, it is said that God sleeps in the stone, breathes in the plant, dreams in the animal, and awakens in the human being. This God who sleeps, breathes, dreams, and awakens is the one and indivisible consciousness itself, the universal consciousness, the great power that unfolds from the heart of the atom, creating, generating, and impelling all life waves and fields of manifestation in the universe. Faced with this grandeur of the manifestation of universal consciousness, here are some frequently asked questions. If the one consciousness is that universal power, omnipresent and omnipotent in everything and everyone, if it is the image of divinity itself in every particle and being, and above all, if it is the power that unites and ensures the unity of all beings in the universe, then how do you explain our current egocentric state of consciousness, which generates this world of horrors in which we live?
How do you explain this world that we created, isolated from the universal whole, in which we shackle each other, devouring each other, and devastating our cosmos?
How can this be explained in the face of such greatness of universal consciousness? Although it may sound surprising, our state of consciousness and life is the logical and natural consequence of the evolution of the universal power of consciousness itself, which grows and rises through different forms of life until it becomes aware of itself, the universal consciousness, which, as the binding force of spirit and matter, sleeps in the mineral kingdom, breathes and lives in the plant kingdom, and begins to become conscious, as in a sleeping consciousness, in the animal kingdom, is finally becoming self-conscious in the human kingdom. As universal consciousness is the great driving power of all life manifested in the universe, when it becomes aware of itself, even if in an embryonic way, as in present humanity, it assumes command of the evolution of life, becoming the preponderant factor of all development. At a certain moment in its history, the human species ceased to be part of nature's automatic evolutionary development and assumed for itself the burden and the bonus of its evolution. The universal teachings state that this moment marks the emergence of self-awareness, or what we call I consciousness. In Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, historian Yuval Noah Harari describes the emergence of I consciousness in the human species as the cognitive revolution, a change in our state of consciousness that occurred approximately 70,000 years ago, and which also marked the emergence of language and of the fictional representation of the world, thus originated the world and its history as we know them today. Yuval N. Harari states that this moment marks the separation of the human species from its integrated life with nature. From that point on, humanity begins to live in a dual reality in which the imagined reality, the collective fiction created by this new state of consciousness, becomes the dominant factor. This also explains the myths of Adam and Eve and the lost paradise of Eden, which represent the loss of life integrated into nature. The universal teachings associate this moment with all the myths of the fall and the creation of an order of life separate from the whole. Thus, whether from a scientific point of view or from the universal teachings, the emergence of self-awareness in human beings marks a change in their development, initiating the transition from a natural state of animal semi-consciousness to an initial state of human self-awareness, which we call I consciousness. This change can be translated as the alteration of the three attributes of their state of consciousness: identity, perception, and manifestation. Let us look at the three basic differences between the state of consciousness of an animal and that of a self-aware human being. The universal teachings explain that an animal's identity is collective, and that its actions are directly explainable by the set of collective behaviors of its species. These collective behaviors are stored in their genes and in the collective morphic field, in the collective energetic memory of their species, which in the past was called group soul. This morphic field is the reservoir of memory for all beings of this species. It is their collective unconscious, that which determines the way in which all its members perceive reality. This is the second attribute of their consciousness, collective awareness. As a consequence, its manifestation, the third attribute of its consciousness, also takes place through a set of collective and highly predictable behaviors supported by its collective identity and its collective morphic field. This is how an animal's consciousness works. What happens when a being becomes self-aware? The emergence of self-awareness works like a gigantic magnet placed inside its own consciousness. This magnet causes the center of gravity to sink in on itself, as if the center of all life becomes its own center of self-awareness. Consciousness ceases to be centrifugal, integrated with the whole, and becomes centripetal, keeping the center within itself in an increasingly intense and growing attempt to integrate the whole from its own individual perspective. This process triggers change in the three attributes of consciousness, a process that isolates consciousness away from the nature that generated it. This is the origin of the myths of a lost paradise and the creation of a nature isolated in itself. Let us see how this happens. Regarding identity, the new state of self-awareness generates the phenomenon of identification, also known as attachment or egocentrism. This is how the I is born. In relation to perception, the new state of self-consciousness generates an individual morphic field in which thoughts, feelings, and reactions are individualized and particularized, creating its own and self-isolated respiration field. We can call this phenomenon illusion, deception, or more precisely, projection. This is how I consciousness arises. Regarding the manifestation, the new state of self-awareness generates a set of self-induced individual behaviors, which over time are perpetuated in a series of automatisms, a phenomenon that we can call repetition. Here, through its automatisms, the natural soul appears. Thus, identity, perception, and manifestation become identification, projection, and repetition, which in turn generate the I, self-consciousness, and the natural soul. Here, dear reader, are the three pillars of natural self-consciousness. Based on these three pillars, we create the vicious circle we live in, which can only be broken from the inside out through a transformation of consciousness generated by the consciousness itself. This transformation of consciousness needs to totally change these three pillars. This is to what we refer when we speak of I-demolition, of the birth of a new consciousness. Now that we have a modicum of clarity about these elements, we can dive deeper in the next chapter into this process to understand how it should be carried out.